Geek Tank is funded by listeners like you.
Today on Geek Tank, we talk about Harlequin,
our issues with her idealized relationship with the Joker,
and we leave you with some good resources and food for thought after this. Guy.
Hi, I'm Troy.
Hi, I'm Chelsea.
And this is Geek Tank,
your emotional baggage-sized podcast.
With included carry-on.
But first, the news. In the news, LEGO launched their Women of NASA minifigures set this past week with astronauts Dr. Jemison, Dr. Ride, astronomer Dr. Roman, and Margaret Hamilton.
Woohoo!
SpaceX tied the United Launch Alliance with 16 launches this year. Experts have selected their first candidates for the potential first interstellar mission, their choice, tardigrades. And speaking of tardigrades, Discovery airs its last episode before it goes on its break with Into the Forest I Go, and this week's Orville episode is called Cupid's Dagger.
Denver Museum of Natural... Oh, sorry. Natural. It's nature. It's natural nature.
Natural?
Not unnatural nature.
Unnatural nature.
And science is still hosting their ultimate dinosaur exhibition.
Woo!
And they don't actually have dinosaurs fight, I don't think.
But that sucks. They should have dinosaurs fight.
That would be the ultimate.
I would pay to see a dinosaur fight.
Like the MMA for dinosaurs.
I would pay to see a dinosaur laser fight. But that's
lasers.
A reference...
And
this, I'll tell you later.
Getting to see this ultimate exhibit is included in your price of your ticket just to get into the museum. So if you're a member, it's free.
Yay!
Other than the membership you already paid, which wasn't free, but hey, there you go. But it says, Ultimate Dinosaur showcases some of the most spectacular dinosaur discoveries and cutting-edge scientific research from the Southern Hemisphere in recent years. Why were Southern dinosaurs so bizarre and unique from their better-known North American counterparts? There are lots of ways in the exhibition to dig into this question. So you have until the end of this year to go see that. So a couple of months, depending on when you listen to this.
Yeah.
It's National Writing Month. Yay!
Yay!
I'm writing a lot. It's the sixth day. I haven't lost all of my brain yet. So get writing.
So
write
this means you get the month to write, right?
Yeah, I have a month to write all of the things.
50,000 words.
50,000 words. My word count's not
words.
Good right now. I'm working on it.
So
gets cracking.
Nene is for national. The no is for November. Ran is the writing. What's the last part of it?
National Novel Writing Month.
There you go.
Yay! So get writing.
Get writing, and that's the news.
Here on Geek Tank, we like to keep our line below a PG-13 rating, never going beyond it. On today's show, we're going to come up kind of close right to our rating. We're talking about a very serious situations that happen, and it may have trigger warning results for some. So this is our warning to you that this is a heavy subject that we're going to be talking about on today's podcast. Thank you. So we come up with our topics for Geek Tank in various ways, and usually it's brainstorming. And I had seen a meme that kind of bothered me, and it was Harlequin and the Joker. And it said, screw Romeo and Juliet, I want a love like the Joker and Harlequin. So that's kind of what spawned the topic. But before we get into that, we'll save that for the second half. So the first half... Let's talk about Harley. So Harlene Frances Quinzel, also known as Harlequin, was created by Paul Dini and Bruce Timm.
Sorry.
Guy's got a repeating problem.
I just wanted to say that Bruce Timm's awesome. That's all.
Okay. So if you're out there, Bruce Timm, send Guy a autograph of yourself. So, and so Harley's first appeared in Batman the Animated TV Series in September 1992, and then she was so popular that they incorporated her later into the comic books, with the first appearance being the Batman Adventure number 12.
Right.
So, Harlequin, in the animated series, her first episode was called Joker's Favor, as what was originally supposed to be the animated equivalent of a walk-on role. A number of police officers were to be taken hostage by someone jumping out of a pop-up cake, and it was decided that to have the Joker do so himself would be too bizarre. And so Dini thus created a female sidekick for the Joker, who would become his love interest. I'd like to point out later, they did finally decide they'd rather have the Joker pop out, so it was the Joker who did pop out of the cake. Not Harley.
Aw, it would have been better if it was Harley.
It's hilarious to me that it was the Joker that did it.
Actually, yeah. I was going to say, whenever you first said that, I was like, yeah, as soon as you said that, I was like, actually, I think it would have been awesomer to have Joker popping
exactly.
out of the cake.
So I'm glad they made that choice.
I'm glad they did that, too. That seems like a weirder choice, and I like it a whole lot better.
Oh, yeah.
And just like, that's weird, just like Joker. I'd expect the Joker to be just bizarre like
I would even expect him to be dressed in what you would expect not a Joker to be dressed as
right.
popping out of it.
He'd be dressed as a traditional clown. Or even like as a Harlequin.
I don't know.
I was thinking
a bikini.
Showgirl.
Yeah, I was just thinking bikini.
He would do that in the animated series. Yep.
Yeah,
definitely.
That would be funny. That would be hysterical.
So Arlene Sorkin, a former star of the soap opera Days of Our Lives, appeared in a dream sequence on that series in which she wore a jester costume. And so Dini used this scene as inspiration for Quinn.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And then she voiced her as well for a very long time.
Having been friends with Sorkin since college, he incorporated aspects of her personality into the character. Quinn also was inspired by a mutual friend's stormy but nonviolent relationship, according to Timm. Bruce Timm.
Bruce Timm. Bruce Timm's awesome.
Timm. Bruce Timm.
I'm just saying.
What was that name again?
Bruce Timm.
There you
I'm
go.
Just saying.
This is going to become your version of Omaha.
Bruce Timm, Bruce Timm, Blue 42, Blue 42.
So I think almost everybody instantly fell in love with Harley.
I
thought you were going to say Bruce Timm, because I fell in love with Bruce Timm.
Well, you instantly fell in love with Bruce Timm.
I'm just saying. He's an awesome artist.
You need to get the Harley costume, dress in it, take a picture and send it to Bruce Timm.
There you go.
That's what a true fan, and by fan I mean crazy psycho stalker person, would do.
Right.
Post and that on our Facebook page.
Yeah, you know, that was an image that nobody needed.
That's my job.
There you go.
The background story of Harlequin is really interesting that they came up with for in the animated series, because she was a psychologist.
Right.
Definitely.
Who was assigned.
Joker's psychiatrist.
Specifically, and he twisted her mind so much and manipulated her that she fell in love.
Right.
And became...
Stockholm Syndrome, I would say.
Yes.
And it continues to be Stockholm Syndrome.
And it's... it was... And this character, the Joker, had been around for a very long time, and it's interesting that he came up with a sidekick, and such a twisted sidekick at that.
And it's funny because Joker was supposed to be a one-off, and so was Harley, but now they're two of the most beloved characters in the franchise. They're just these little one-offs that magically came back. The biggest thing that I was reading that I thought was hilarious is DC Comics put out little factoids, and they say that Harley sometimes has issues because she's scared of wearing contacts and she doesn't wear glasses anymore, so her eyesight's really bad. So sometimes that's why she bumps into things, so that's why she's so clumsy. But she's also a gymnast. So there's kind of a little bit of duality there,
right,
which is super fun to play with. But you see why she's like the ditzy blonde, right? Because she literally just can't see anything.
She can't see.
And she doesn't want to admit that she can't see anything.
I know people like that. I actually really do know people who are like, they will not admit that they can't see.
But she's clearly not ditzy. She was a psychologist, so she's really smart.
Right.
But she portrays this character because it's what Joker wants.
Right. She plays the sweet, loving, stupid puppy. It's that puppy dog kind of love. With a punch.
Things are getting kind of ugly over there.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, in the animated series in particular, I mean, Joker's not the nicest guy. He screams at her pretty much constantly.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll go from loving her for beating the crap out of him to hating her for doing something stupid and take it out on her. And he lashes out physically and verbally. And that's kind of terrifying. So not the most ideal relationship to look up to.
No.
Yeah, he frequently insults her, ignores her, hurts her, and even tries to kill her.
Yeah.
Yeah, he kills her, or he leaves her for dead.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, happy, blissful relationship between these two.
Mm-hmm. Kids cartoon.
Yeah.
But that's the scary part. Like, people idealize this relationship so much. They dress up as this relationship, and they play it out. And, of course, it's lovey-dovey, you know, when you cosplay. But when you're looking at the animated series and you're looking at the newer movies, this is not a relationship we should idealize it at any cost.
Right. I'm moving the recorder so we can all see what time it is.
And so
there you go.
Channeling Bruce Timm.
So we can Bruce Timm this. Blue 42.
So I don't know what else to say about Harlequin.
The origin of her?
I mean, we've covered that.
I do want to say that she's definitely grown, especially with the games, the Arkham Asylum and the Arkham City
game. Well, the new 52, if I remember correctly, they actually have her get past the relationship.
Well, that's Suicide Squad. She joins Suicide Squad to get away from Joker. That's why I was having an issue with the film Suicide Squad and having Joker in there. I see that they were trying to grab her past origins, but they tried to involve the Joker too much, maybe to sell movie tickets. I'm not sure.
It didn't seem like the Joker was part of that. That's not part of the Joker isn't part of Suicide Squad, correct?
No.
Yeah, have you seen it?
The movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I prayed for the credits to
roll. Okay, yeah, well, from what I know of the comic book and of from the movie, he's not part of the Suicide Squad.
He's not, and I think they tried to do it for sales.
Because if you watch all the advertising, it was the Joker leading the Suicide Squad. I mean, that's the way, because I know nothing of the comics.
Jared Leto was upset that he had done like 2 more hours worth of filming and that those pieces didn't get in the film. And I was like, but this is not about you.
Yeah.
That's for the director's cut.
Oh, God.
Oh. That's what you need.
It's going to be 6 hours
of it.
Right.
Of Joker. Ugh.
It's all Joker time.
Yeah.
Joker time.
They just needed to make a standoff called Joker versus Batman versus Superman.
It was like, I love Harley and Joker, but if you want to make a Joker movie, make a freaking Joker movie.
Yeah.
That's fine. Just do it. It'll sell.
Oh, yeah.
But don't make, like, a film that's not about him at all.
I don't know now after Suicide Squad if it will sell.
Yeah, I don't know if anything will.
They'd have to have Wonder Woman show up to kind of
just to help sell that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But Harley's seen a change in costuming. She's a little more sexualized now. She's a little more empowered now. Specifically in the new 52, I believe, when she starts dating Poison Ivy. She actually leaves Joker for Poison Ivy, and they become this power couple, essentially just causing chaos, which I personally love because girl power.
Right.
Well, it's kind of fan service, too, though, because before that happened in the 52, there had been a whole lot of fan drawings of having Poison Ivy and Harlequin together and kind of pushing for that.
But Dini seemed okay with it because he personally implied that they had a sexual relationship and that it was love, which is kind of sweet.
I think
maybe he realized that this was a better relationship and oh my God.
I'm just referring to the title of a comic, that's all.
When this character first came out, we had a problem with other characters coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see that being one of those. Initially, I had every intention of them, of her being bi, but we couldn't bring it out in the 90s as being a bisexual relationship. There's no way that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, but now we're in a much more comfortable environment about having characters that are bi, so it's okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. And they did that in DC Bombshells as well. They've really made it very comfortable, and they've written characters well, which I think is the best tribute. Because if it were written poorly and cheesy just for fan service, people would be pissed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People loved the Harley and Poison Ivy relationship. They're even talking about making a film, and I'm kind of more excited to see that version with Margot Robbie. Because
me too.
I think she's a great actress, but she had a really craptacular script, and I hated that costume. Oh, my God.
I'm not up on the new 52. Is it costume taken from the 52?
It's changed a lot. Oh my gosh.
This is something I can easily find.
Currently, she's in shorts and kind of a corset top. I want to say that's the current one with the hammer, but that might have been the last one. There's been so many costume changes with her. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, the Arkham Asylum version, she was in a corset top and pants.
Yeah. Or Arkham Asylum? No, she's in the little skirt and the corset. And
it
then
depends
she's
on which Arkham Asylum, because I
oh,
drew a
Arkham
version.
City.
Arkham something.
You're talking about the video game? Or what?
Yeah,
do you,
oh, video okay. game.
It
because I drew a picture of that at one
yeah, from
point
what I'm seeing, it looks like it's a stage in between the animated series and the movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
From what I'm looking at here.
And her hair has changed a bunch of different times. They pulled her out of the cap. So she's got multicolored hair.
Yeah.
They're just playing at this point. They're just trying to find a comfy home for her.
They're trying to find
the
a
one
spot
of the things
her.
I know that they did in the new 50, or I believe the new 52, that they also did in the movie was they changed her origin story, or part of the origin story, because she wore makeup in the animated series. And in the movie, spoiler alert, Joker basically does like a baptism of her in the same chemical bath that he fell into to physically change her skin.
Which I
that.
Hate. Because that feels like he has more power over her rather than her doing it of her own demented, tortured, twisted mind.
Right. And what
I
takes
feel
away
like
his
mental.
Well, but it adds to the. I mean, it's effectively burning her with acid.
Mm-hmm.
Which. That
it's
never happens
I have
in real life.
Power over you to throw you into a giant acid vat willingly.
Yeah. Well, now I will point out, it was one of these things where he took her there. He didn't actually push her in. It was of her own free will choice. But quotes. What free will do you have when the person's standing there saying, "You should do this if you really love me"?
If you love me.
If you love me,
you'll
give
burn
me
yourself
your,
really badly.
Bank account. You'll Don't give up that. All your buddies.
Don't do that. That's really bad for you.
Yeah. So
you'll do the thing that's not good for you. Okay. Well. That was interesting. Well, now we're going to go on and deep dive into this, and it's going to get ugly. So that's all the fun part. So we'll be back after this.
Hi, I'm Amy Reeder, creator of Rocket Girl and Moon Girl. You can find me at Amy Reeder on Twitter, and you're listening to Geek Tank.
Time for our Ask Us Anything, and our question comes from the ether.
Of the back of my head.
Of the back of your head. And it's?
It is there a fashion that has gone out of style that you would have preferred not have gone out of style? And we'll start with you, Chelsea.
All right. So I'm going to talk about fashion and function from the 1700s. I love kilts. I'm part of a Scottish reenactment group. Kilts are great. I love them. They're fantastic. Not utility kilts, actual plaid.
What's the difference?
Well, kilts used to be 8 yards of fabric, and it was your sleeping bag, it was your raincoat, it was your carrying pouch. It was kind of an everything kind of garment.
Also, the actual kilt wasn't just for your waist. It would do a wraparound toga type thing.
It would wrap around and go to the top. Yeah,
gotcha.
You could cloak yourself. Women could pop their babies in the back with what they wore as an arisage, which is like a kilt, but they'd usually have a skirt underneath. And these were so precious that when the Scots went into battle, they would take off their kilts. They'd usually tie their shirt at the base, and then they'd run screaming, or they'd run naked.
Because picked.
Well, as we see in all martial art films, the less clothing you wear, the harder it is to get hit.
Exactly.
Yep.
If you have no
nudity.
Armor, you are completely bulletproof. Swordproof.
So, kilts.
Kilts. Yeah. Real kilts. Great
Real kilts.
Kilts as
great
say.
Kilts.
And they are now out of fashion.
They are. Great kilts just because it's so much fabric. I think people are just scared to wear them. But they'd be perfect for winter here. Nice and warm. 100% wool. You'd be just fine.
Yeah, I can't. Usually, like, my kilt is a lighter wool, mm-hmm. and it's because I die in this. Because usually I wear them during the summer, and it's like, it's killing me.
You'd be
it's killing me.
Die in the wool.
Die in the wool.
However that goes. All right, guy, so, what fashion would you like to see not have died?
Jean jackets. Like, women can still wear jean jackets now and still be fashionable, but men... No, if you're wearing jean jackets as a man now, they're like, dude, seriously, you need to
get out of that Canadian tux.
80s and like.
You join. Could wear one at an 80s party, basically.
Yeah, I can wear one at an 80s party. But I liked my jean jacket. I really did. It was pretty cool. I had NASA patches all over it.
Of course.
You should bring it back.
Totally.
Bring back the battle. There's a thing in for metalheads called battle jackets where you put all your favorite band's patches on something, and then you just wreck that jacket. You wear it to every concert. You get spills on it. You get cigarette stains and burns.
So in your case, you'd wear it to every convention and get Mountain Dew and taco stains on it.
There you go.
Just convention not con jackets. Funk. Avoid con funk.
Yeah, it'd have to be washed. So what about you, Troy?
Brings it to me. In the 80s and early 90s, I had an affinity for hip pouches.
Hip pouch.
And I will say because they were the closest thing to ever come about to be an actual utility belt. Mm-hmm. I would love to see utility belts be fashionable.
I agree.
That's much better than a fanny pack because you would have more than one pouch.
Right.
So you could organize.
Well, my hip pouch, I actually had added additional pouches to. Because I wanted a freaking utility belt.
You were trying to get it there.
I was trying to get it there.
Because he's Batman.
Batman. If it can be someone, be Batman, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So, but they went out really fast, and I think you occasionally still see them. But I already commit the fashion faux pas of wearing, jorts and cargo shorts.
Yep.
So, because I'm not ready to let those go yet. But
yeah, well, there you go. That was...
Why don't you tell us what fashion you'd love to see brought back, and you can write to us and tell us about that at
questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
And we're back. We're at our favorite Starbucks here on Wadsworth, just north of...
South.
South of 6th Avenue, north south of Alameda.
First. North of Alameda.
Well, we're south of Canada and north of Mexico.
No, we're not.
You say that while nodding.
Bad improv.
It depends. If it's funny to say no.
See, that's the catch.
You've done the
you can't thing. Let the laughter guide your idea of what's funny and not, because an audience will laugh at the worst possible thing.
And then you'll keep
it's
going.
It's like
and
you. It will work. The audience laughs at
the
you.
The laughter can reinforce bad humor habits.
Okay, so we're going into part two of our Harley discussion. And now we're going to go into the...
Dissecting the Harley... the relationship idolization.
Yes.
That seems to have come about.
The problems we're having with this.
So I'm curious what it was that this new generation, or whoever it is that sees this relationship, is missing. Are they not watching the cartoon or reading the comics? Are they only cherry-picking the good parts and being in denial of the bad parts, which is, in a lot of ways, how these relationships work, is a lot of denial.
Well, it might be that, just looking at the surface, we've got Harley and Joker as anti-heroes in a way, and you're just looking at the surface of it. But let's first kind of make our case for what we think is wrong, because we've been talking about this for a couple of months now.
Yeah.
So, but our audience isn't up to date.
I've got two different views on this.
Yeah, let's bring our audience up to date on what we're talking about. So, mm-hmm. we started with the meme that you were talking about, which is that I don't want a relationship like Romeo and Juliet. I want a relationship like Harley and Joker. First of all, for any Shakespearean, we'll tell you, Romeo and Juliet was really not a very positive relationship.
8 people died. Yes. I think it's 8.
It's like...
So many people die.
It's brutally bad.
Including the lovers.
Including
Do not compare your relationship
Romeo
to Romeo
and
Juliet.
Maybe they're looking at the first and second act and skipping the third act.
Yeah. But the first and second act is still only two days.
18-year-old creeper creeping on a 16-year-old girl who's like, you're cute. Okay,
well, you see,
let's do this.
By today's age standards, that's a problem.
That's kind of creepy, but back then it wasn't so creepy.
Because you only had a 30-year lifespan.
Still, don't compare yourself to the lark and the nightingale, okay?
Please.
Let's just not.
Don't.
Let's just not, and let's just say we didn't. There you go.
That'd be like comparing yourself to Othello and Desdemona.
That would be an... Yes.
Don't do that either. Beatrice and Benedict, who are just jammed together in Much Ado About Nothing. That might have worked if they weren't jammed together. They should not
best,
be together.
The best relationship would have to be Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
Yes, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern is perfect. Be like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Be weird, be wacky, and love each other.
And
don't die.
Be friends beyond death.
Don't lose your head.
So you're not saying be Patricia? Never mind. I'm just not going
to
even go
I'm really bad at Taming. I need to watch Taming again. I'm sorry. I need to read it as well.
I love Taming of the Shrew. There was a Of all the things out there, there's a moonlighting episode of Taming of the Shrew that is just beautiful.
See, I will play Beatrice one day from Much Ado. I love her. She's fiery. She's feisty. She's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Kate is also really cool.
Yes.
As far as characters go, that was a groundbreaker. Why are we on Kate?
You can have a Pokemon Shakespeare crossover with the Taming of the Sand Shrew.
So, Taming of the Pikachu.
Could, but there's already a shrew, so why not go with it? So, okay. Yes.
So we're moving on, talking about
idolization of a really bad relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem we have with this is that really Harley and Joker is an epitome of a horrible, terrible, abusive relationship. This relationship is just brutal. And it is a terrible, terrible relationship. We keep looking into it. And the more we look into this, the more we see Joker doing terrible things to Harley and Harley returning and coming back to him. It is exactly like the abused member of a partnership that has been beaten. And you see them and you're like, you've got a black eye. You've mm-hmm. got to leave him/her. And the response is, I can't. I love him/her. And
it's just understanding that on the surface, like, this relationship might be zany and kind of cute
wild and maybe wild unbridled.
And, yeah, and they both have their problems. But deep down, like,
this is an abusive relationship. It's broken.
Yeah, it's absolutely broken. It's absolutely horrible. And
Joker dominates Harley. And definitely. Joker controls Harley.
It's a power trip. It's a complete power trip.
It's a complete power trip, if DC were darker, if it wasn't comics, and if it wasn't comics code, I would expect that in reality, Joker would be raping Harley because of power and control,
yeah,
and domination, mm-hmm. just because that's the kind of person I see Joker being.
50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Well, that's supposedly...
It's supposedly consensual, but if you read it, I mean, she walks away so many times because she's hurt and then wanders back in.
Right.
And mm-hmm. doesn't stick up for herself very well.
This isn't a positive relationship between these two. And so,
well, the thing to look at is she gives up her career, her freedom, her identity of who she is without ever getting anything in return.
Yeah.
What she sacrifices everything, which in a way you can weigh and you can say that a certain amount of sacrifice is the equivalent of love, then what did the Joker sacrifice for her?
Nada.
Nothing. He gives up nothing
for
her.
She's not mutual. She's a pawn in his big master game. No. He does not care. She can get arrested. She can rot in jail. Well, he leaves her in situations where she's almost dead. And
during the break, you were showing us a picture where Harley was in a dungeon and there was a bunch of other Harleys.
Yeah, one of the new 52s, I think it was. Or no, that was something else.
I want to say it's a series where Joker is facing off against Dollhouse and he cuts off his own face to show that behind Joker, like behind the mask, there is.
We probably should have mentioned
Joker.
This was going to get graphic.
This is not a very happy episode.
He locks up Harley because she tries to defy him and he's like, did you think you were the only one? You're hilarious. And it's just a pile of Harleys.
Right, which is like that's another game that I have seen played in relationships that are like this too. It's I can replace you. So stay with me because you have to stay with me because you can't replace me, but I can replace you. It's a power trip.
It is.
All of it's a power trip.
Total control.
This is it's good writing. I like the writing of these two characters. This is not a knock against DC. This is not a knock against Harley and Joker. These are good characters.
Well, they're certainly not glamorizing it. When I look at it, I don't see it glamorized.
I don't see it being villains.
DC does dark, and they say their content is mature. But I can tell you from a standpoint of where I was in middle school and high school, fan fiction was a huge thing.
Right.
And fan fiction, when you're not taught about sex ed very much, other than you do it, you will die.
Yeah.
In childbirth.
Yeah. Don't have sex, otherwise you will die. That's what you learn from horror flicks, too.
Well, that's what happened to me.
Exactly. We had to resurrect you a lot, man.
I know.
It sucked. I want those diamonds back, by the way. Resurrection sucks. expensive.
But in fan fiction, you see these power relationships where somebody's completely in control. And there's a lot of, like, particularly when I was in middle school and high school, Harry Potter was out and everybody was writing stuff because we were like, we're kids and we love Harry Potter and let's explore this universe and play in it. So there were a lot of, like, professors with student relationships, like Snape and Hermione, like Remus Lupin.
That's out of line.
Harry Potter and, like... it is. But, like, it was super popular.
Right.
Like, these were things that were followed. So this became the trend. You have, like, the older person who's all experienced, and you have this young student, and it's this forbidden relationship. And maybe, like, dark, angsty things happen, or bright, sunshiny, rainbow things happen. It really just depends on, whatever's happening.
And where the author is.
It's kind of accepted because it's everywhere. Like these.
I kind of want to write the fanfic now of a professor getting fired and having the talk to by Dumbledore about how inappropriate that was and how they have to use the thing where they remove memories from people just to get rid of the trauma from the poor student from what they went through.
That would be interesting because a lot of these go pretty dark. They don't end in happy.
Boy, that is a twist. It's even funnier if you just started it there.
Yeah.
Start them at the Pensieve. And so you don't even get the benefit of all of the juicy, goofy.
Of course not. No, I wouldn't do
it's
that.
It's all about the nasty, straight, just having like face down things. Dumbledore.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be funny.
But it's normalized in fan fiction. So growing up, it's like, this is normal. This is fine. I'm just going to read this. And some of it was difficult to read, and I didn't quite understand it. But where do you go but more internet to find out about things? Because you don't talk to your parents as a teenager.
Right.
To God, no.
Oh, God,
it's awkward as hell. So it's kind of normalized in the fan fiction world because there's so much going on.
Normalized to a degree now in Hollywood with the films. I'm trying to think of – I don't get to see a lot of films, unfortunately. But the Suicide Squad clearly was making it romantic because he's trying to rescue.
So much and they're
trying to go after each other.
They're messing with this guy in the club, and they just love each other so much because they're messing with this guy and exploding his head. Mm-hmm. But Joker's literally offering her for sex to this guy.
Right.
She's like, "Yeah, I'll go along with it." Like, that's horrible.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you ever saw Natural Born Killers. With Woody Harrelson, and her name is going to run away from my brain at the moment.
Juliet.
Thank you, Julia Dreyfus.
Julia. Something or another.
Dreyfus? Julia.
Nope.
Okay. Definitely
Lewis.
Not the Juliet Lewis. Mm-hmm. I keep wanting this to do the Louis Dreyfus from Seinfeld, which I know is not right. But yeah, it's a messed up homicidal
Excuse
couple.
Me.
And they do these things because they're messed up, and it's not like... They know the end goal is this person's going to get killed, but we're going to mess with them psychologically before we kill them. And that's kind of how I took that whole club scene.
Gotcha.
Not that that makes it any better what they did.
No.
But it's
you see echoes of it around. Mm-hmm. And you see echoes of, like, these power trips. Or, like, you have the films, particularly, like, in the 50s and 60s that show the man going to work and... You know, the wife staying at home and she's cooked him dinner and she has his slippers, but she doesn't have his martini done, so he slaps her across the face. Like, it's that kind of thing where you're just like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What are you doing? Leave him, take your children and run.
Yeah, and that's another one of those things that's part of that whole issue is the normalization of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the normalization of it's. There's nothing you can do to escape. There's nothing you can do to get out. There's nothing I can't leave him. What would I do? Where would I go?
Well, and there's also, when we were at DCC, there was a little 8-year-old girl dressed up as the Harley from Suicide Squad. And
that's what disturbed you and me.
Putting collar and all. And I was like, are you serious? Like, have those parents seen that film? Do they even know? And why are they marketing that costume to children?
Yeah, how is there even a children's-sized Harley costume?
Mm-hmm. And it was fishnets and all. Like, I was like, what is happening? That's super not okay.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
maybe the parents just didn't know, and they're like, oh, it's from a superhero thing. It's from DC.
Yeah, it's
Harley
a superhero,
Quinn.
And it's a girl superhero. So clearly that is a thing.
Yeah.
And so it's clearly a girl superhero.
Oops.
I don't know. But just like, you look at that, and you're like, what were you thinking?
Mm-hmm.
So
that's just one of those things where you're just like, what happened in your mindset that was okay?
Yeah.
It makes your mind break.
Yeah.
So we are going to go to a break. Speaking of our minds breaking, be back after this.
This is Colton Muheim from Red Team Go, and this is Geek Tank.
All right, so we are back, and this time we're going to talk about kind of the redemption of Harley Quinn. And I really think that starts with Harley Quinn number 25. So spoilers if you haven't read it. In this comic, Harley is trying to bust out her new boyfriend, Mason. And in the course of doing so, like, Joker leaks her disguise to a bunch of guards. He tries to poison Mason against her. He causes all sorts of trouble. And finally, she gets Mason out. She unlocks his cell, and she can hear him kind of cooing for her. Don't leave me. I'm still here. I still love you. That kind of stuff. At first, she doesn't want to enter the cell, but then she decides to, and she just smashes him to a pulp and says she's done. And thus ends the relationship between Harley and Joker as we knew it would, rather violently.
Right.
Kind of triumphantly, because it's finally her getting the upper hand, but I think it would have been more powerful if she had just spoken what she needed to straight to his face, closed it for her, because sometimes people just need to speak their mind and get some closure, and then walked away.
Right.
I feel
right.
like that would have been much, much stronger, but a lot of people have said that the only way that Joker and Harley could end was in violence.
Right. Well, and that makes sense for those two characters.
Mm-hmm.
For that particular relationship, the only way that was going to end was with that kind of response.
Right. But she ends up moving on, which is not something I certainly expected to happen for a very long time. I think it's progressive to break up the biggest couple that they had going for them.
Right.
And to move on to other things, especially for her to move on to another guy so quickly and then to poison Ivy after that. But it really reinforces that they're trying to kind of move away from this horrible, sadistic, awful relationship in the best way that they can with a good closure, a good amount of closure.
Right.
It's just done. So, and she doesn't kill him, which I was honestly very, very
You
surprised.
Were waiting for that because you thought for sure that was going to happen.
I thought for sure she was just going to put a bullet in his head and leave him. I really did.
Well, as writers, by not killing him, although the Joker has been quote-unquote killed several times and come back,
mm-hmm.
but by not killing him, that leaves it open for her to relapse and go back to him, which would be very true to life with a lot of these kind of relationships.
I really hope she doesn't go back.
Oh,
but
I
could
so too.
See them doing that
I
for giggles.
So
I could see another gal coming in, maybe a younger version, and her struggling with that, seeing Joker with a younger version of Harley, considering that they've said she's not the only one in certain versions before. That well, would be a very interesting take.
And that is something that is also in pattern.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the abuser tends to pull
it's
another
psychological stuff.
Yeah, another one in.
And she
and
looks the
hard.
Same, but she's a younger, prettier model.
Right.
Oh.
Now, I know we're talking about a comic, but this is a very real-life issue for a lot
it
of
is.
People. And you mentioned in the moving triggered something in my brain that I saw recently. There are actually charitable moving companies that, for free, will move the possessions of a woman from one place to another to help them get out.
Yeah, here in Denver, when I was a kid, we used to always donate to the battered women's shelter. There is a local shelter here in Denver that will take your possessions. And I would always donate clothing that I wouldn't wear anymore.
Right.
Because they take in women and their children and make sure they're in the safe space. They make sure they have food. And we would sometimes take food there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really nice that there's that. I don't know if there's the same thing for men, but I absolutely believe there should be because it happens on both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think these were actually...
Yeah, the odds of abuse, 10 million men and women, 1 in 3 women and 1 in 4 men. Are abused.
And you know, there was a post on Facebook recently, and I think it was triggered by all the Harvey Weinstein things coming out in Hollywood, and it was that post of Me Too. And
yeah.
there was a huge debate, and some people were very, very upset over it, and I completely understand it's a difficult topic, and it's difficult for people not to view things as like victim blaming.
Right.
It's a very sensitive, personal subject, and it's happened to a lot of people I know as cosplayers on both sides of the aisle, men, women, sure. even trans or those who don't identify as a gender. It happens all the time. Yeah. And it's not just like in person. It happens on a lot of cosplay profile pages where people are like, oh my gosh, you have such a pretty smile, but you should smile more.
Right.
You should smile more. And so, like, that kind of stuff, just stop playing games with people. Like, that's not appropriate. It's not okay. If you like something, just like it. You don't have to post a comment at all. You don't need to put your sass in there.
Yeah.
Because it's not appreciated.
If you're in a relationship, too, and you're kind of wondering if you're in an abusive relationship, remember, it doesn't have to just be physical. Because you can being controlled is abuse.
Yeah.
So one thing to be looking at is, does your partner humiliate you or yell at you, criticize you and put you down all the time, like you were saying, you'd be prettier if you smile. Mm-hmm. At, treat you so badly that you're embarrassed for your friends and your family to see how you're treated? Do they try to isolate you from your friends and your family, which was a situation that I saw with someone I knew.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
I had the same issue as well. Well, why aren't you home? You should be home cooking your dinner. Why aren't you at home? You're always out with this person. You must be sleeping with them. Why aren't you paying attention to me? All your friends hate me and they can't stand me. Your parents don't like me being around. Why are we going to your parents' house again? Like, you should stay home. I don't think you're feeling well. You don't look well. Are you okay? That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Definitely don't let them trap you. Don't let them isolate you. Especially, like, for me as an introvert, I like to be home already, but people commented like, hey, I haven't seen you for like a year. Are you okay?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that really kind of chimed me in. Also, you know, they say like, oh, well, he's thrown stuff before or she's thrown stuff before, but it's never hit me. That's not okay.
No.
People should not be throwing anywhere near you. They shouldn't be like doing the fake smack. I've seen that before as well. Not cool. Totally not.
They're raising their hand like they're gonna.
Yeah, no.
No. No, 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 no.
So and these are clues that you should be looking for if you feel like that. And the hardest thing to admit is that you are worth more, because that's what they're doing, is they're trying to play on your insecurities. But you are. Mm-hmm. You are absolutely worth better than that.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
And on the other side of the wall, there is a better life. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem, is that these people start to think, well, if I leave, it won't be better. I can't leave because it won't be better. And you get trapped in there.
I've put in all this time and I've been here for so long. And what happens when I start new? And that's terrifying, right? It's the same thing as like starting a new job in a different field where you're like, I have to start all over again. I have to relearn how to do this. That's okay. Like, lean on your friends. Take some time. The biggest indicator for me was I took a day to myself.
Yeah.
I went and I hid out at a friend's house in the basement. My mom told me, don't come to the house. Don't go to your godmom's. Just hang out with somebody where you're safe, where nobody knows where you are. Turn your phone off. Take some time. And the more I thought about it, you know, just spending time by myself, the more I realized how bad this was getting.
Right.
And I stayed away. And well, I had friends pick up my stuff, and I never went back.
It's the way it the way the design it's the design and mm-hmm. like we were talking with Harley and Joker, it's the design.
Mm-hmm.
take little bits of your spirit, take little bits of your personality, take little bits of your character away.
Yeah.
Take your power away, take your agency away, until you can't live without them.
And that should not be the case.
Then you're stuck.
Yeah.
And it's. I mean, these people do this. These are the same kind of people who were bullies to us when we were kids. Mm-hmm. It's take your agency away, take your power away, because they need the power. And it comes from the same source. They're usually afraid. They're usually fearful. They're trying to control because they are afraid of losing control. Mm-hmm. And those are the worst kind of people. They're horrible people.
And they'll say that you're being selfish.
Selfish and you're being terrible.
Oh, you just don't love me enough.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, there's some horrible stuff. I've seen way too many of these. Mm-hmm. Way too many of these.
So just remember that there are support networks out there. If you're in any kind of relationship like this or any kind of trouble, you can get away. You will be just fine and you are worth it.
Yes, and there's help. There
Absolutely.
Are people who will listen. Heck, we will listen.
Definitely. And there's
questions
not going to be
Rocky Mountain
any
questions at rockymountaingeektank.com.
just write to us. Any questioning of the validity of your story or anything like that?
No, we don't judge. Nobody judges. Well, people judge, but we don't judge. Well, I judge Chelsea.
Well, we judge the person that's abusing.
I judge Troy more. Troy judges me. He's judging me right now.
It's something I dread.
That's true. But it's, yeah, it's one of those, that's a thing. But remember that it's a power play.
Right.
It's about power.
Well, and
all of it's about power.
You just, my big thing was watching Labyrinth. When Sarah says, you have no power over me, bam. The whole thing falls apart.
Right.
Because it's just an illusion.
It is. It's totally, they take your power and they take your agency away so that they demean you so that you feel like you don't have power and agency. And once that's away, then they have power and control over you. It's the same as bullying.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. They're just bullying
you. It's very unfortunate that it happens so often, but it's unfortunately one of those things we have to deal with.
Right.
So,
and it's not just women, it's men. Men, yeah. I've known men who, big men, who are terrified of their little wives because they don't want, you know, they will get beaten up by these little women because they're afraid to hit back or because they don't want to hurt them.
Well, it's also even if they, a bystander witnessing a situation is going to believe that the larger man is abusing the smaller woman.
Right.
So the only real course of action is to completely not do anything at all.
And just take it. Oh. And that's an advantage position. And if you've got, and of course, these people who feel powerless themselves and therefore have to exert power, they're not limited to one gender.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. You're not going to find them only in men or only in women. You're going to find them all over the place. And so you'll never know who's going to be in this situation. And so, yeah, so you'll end up with these people who have to exert power.
And that's why, like, when I talk to my friends, you know, the biggest key indicator for me when I introduce a new partner is, like, take them to my parents' house. What do my parents think? What do my friends think? What is their gut reaction towards this person? And I do take that into account.
Yeah.
Because especially if it's a stranger, you don't know them very well, you know? Mm-hmm. And things are getting, our world is getting bigger and bigger with the internet. And so there's a lot of, you know, long distance dating. And that can be abusive as well.
Yeah. There's all kinds of stuff. But I mean, that doesn't mean don't try. Don't try.
No, that does not mean don't try. There are so many good, wonderful, fantastic people in this world. Just make sure that you find the best person for you, who treats you with respect, who absolutely loves you, because there is such love. There is that Hollywood movie love of just everything is great.
Right.
Fight maybe over
like the love between Guy and Bruce Timm.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I would never come between you and Bruce Timm.
That's true. The love between me and Bruce Timm. And we just cut to a montage of me and Bruce Timm and flowers in the fields. Okay, stick with us after our 1 minute debate, and we'll give you some resources if you feel like you're in this situation and you can contact and look into. But it is time for our 1 minute debate, and here we go.
We are here at our 1 minute debate segment, and today we're going to be talking about, is it ethical for someone to do fan art and profit off of it? It is clearly 100% illegal to be doing that, to be making money off of somebody else's work,
copyright, trademark.
Copyright, intellectual property.
And that's a completely different argument, so this is so, just the ethical side.
Because that's not a debate. That's just done. That's law. Is it ethical, though? Arguing that it is ethical will be Guy Davis. Arguing against it being ethical will be Chelsea Kramer. And you have the floor first, and I'm going to start your time now.
Okay, so it's ethical mostly because as an artist who has no fronting on the web, they have no experience, nothing out there on the web, there's no way to actually profit off of your artwork with no established IP, intellectual property. So the best way to do this is to just start with somebody else's intellectual property so people can see your style. They get exposed to your style and people will buy that. And so that's the idea, is that you need to have some experience.
And time. All right. Now we will go over to you, Chelsea, and your time starts now.
So if you're doing this, I feel like it's wrong, because if you're creating a character in like a different universe with a different costume, you've already built a universe, you already have a costume, why don't you just make a brand new character? Make your own. It can be kind of an echo of something, but I wouldn't fully take somebody's property like Harley Quinn and just like put her in a different outfit in the middle of the woods. I just think that's not different enough, and therefore it's wrong.
And time. And now we will go back over to Guy for him to wrap up his portion of this and go.
So many people are often going to conventions to look for different takes on characters, things that wouldn't be in the traditional vein of things. You won't find things that would be, you know, you'd have mashups, like you'd have My Little Pony and DC characters. You'll have things like that. And that's something you'll get with these artists or variants. So that's something you would find with this. So that's a thing I think would occur. You get these mashups and variants, which is something you wouldn't get from the traditional artists.
In time. All right. So you get to bring this thing home, Chelsea, and your time starts now.
I think artists that do that kind of diminish from those who have actively taken the time to explore their own worlds, to make their own body of work, who've really struggled creatively to build their own things, like Amy Reed. She kind of did her own thing. She played with her own style. She made herself. She built herself up until she got picked up by Image Comics, and then she went on the con floor. So you should have yourself established with your own characters, your own ideals, your own world, and present that to the public, and then maybe you can do spins and trade-offs.
And that's your time. You've each had 1 minute to argue your points. Who do you think had the better argument or wore it better? You can write us and tell us at
questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com. And that's our show for today. If you need some assistance, you can call the National Hotline at 1-800-799-7233. Colorado Crises are at thecoloradocrisisservices.org at 1-844-493-8255, or you can text TALK to 38255. You can also contact RAIN, that's RAINN, at 800-656-HOPE. Want to help? You can donate to the Colorado Coalition Against Domestic Violence, and that's at ccadv.org. So that's all the time we have for today. I've been Guy.
I've been Troy.
And I've been Chelsea.
And this is Geek Tank.
As always, you can email us at questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com. Join the conversation on Twitter at RMGeekTank. You can also follow us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Tumblr for Rocky Mountain Geek Tank. Feel free to join the conversation. We look forward to hearing from you.
Geek Tank is a production of Fox Blade Media and is protected under the Creative Commons 3.0 license.
Your hosts today were Guy S. Davis, C. Troy Floor, and Chelsea Kramer.
Kevin Weibler is our engineer, and our music was composed by David Coyle. Geek Tank is funded by listeners like you. Please consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/Foxblade. I'm Mike Davis saying, Excelsior. Good night.